everybody, and welcome to the special preview for the What a Cartoon Movie episode of Rocco's Modern Life, Static Kling. I am one of your hosts on this one, Filbert superfan Bob Mackey.
And hey, it's me, Henry Gilbert, and I am washing my hands because I just turned a comic book page.
Make sure you count all your potato chips, too.
But yeah, this is the Rocco's Modern Life, Static Kling. We did our monthly What a Cartoon Movie for that, and that's available right now to all of our $10 and up premium Patreon subscribers. But we wanted you guys to get a little taste of it too.
Yes, as with every month, we do a What a Cartoon Movie for $10 patrons on patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons, but we love to give the people on our free feed a taste of what that is. So if you go back through the feed, you'll see one for every month. We've done a little free preview for you guys, and this month is no different. This month, you're going to hear a little slice of our Rocco's Modern Life Static Kling podcast, all about the history of the making of the movie. And of course, if you are a patron, you'll get the whole 3+ hour podcast. I think it's almost 4 hours, the entire thing.
Yeah, it's a biggie. It's one of our big ones.
And we also cover the final episode of Rocco's Modern Life, the 1996 episode Future Schlock, which kind of connects in a kind of vague way to the movie.
Yeah.
It connects enough, but it's a very funny episode. And I am 37.
It's such a goddamn funny episode that also lets us celebrate the life of Steven Hillenburg a little bit too. But yes, the last 5 seconds of it, at least, connects.
That's
to
all
the
that matters.
Movie.
But it's an extra added value for you.
Yes, yeah, and you'll be surprised that we were able to cover 56 minutes of cartoon content last 3.5 hours of conversation.
They should honestly not be surprised by now.
Yeah, actually, no.
But look who you're listening to. Come on.
But yeah, we love talking about Rocco, and there was tons of information from Joe Murray about how the film came to be and his decisions on it, all the cool people he worked with. And if you sign up now for the $10 a month, not only, or up your $5 pledge to that, you'll get Rocco Static Kling. You'll get next month's as well, which is to be decided. And you'll get all of the back catalog of What a Cartoon Movies.
There's a lot of them. Are we still allowed to list all of them, or will that take too much time?
I think we'll forget some, but I mean, some of my favorites include Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh,
that was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed a Goofy movie, a look at the dark side of the goof.
And Akira, the density of that Akira one. I think that one did break my brain.
It definitely broke mine. And also 1992's Aladdin was a great one.
Yes, yeah. And Kiki's Delivery Service from Hayao Miyazaki.
And last month's was Beavis and Butt-Head Do America.
Oh, what a good time.
But I think as of now, there's probably more than 24 hours worth of What a Cartoon Movie podcast. So if you were to stay up all day and night, not recommended, you can fill that entire period with our What a Cartoon Movie podcast and possibly go insane. Again, not recommended.
Just like Rocco does with cartoon nostalgia in Static Kling. So I guess without further ado, here's the preview. And again, if you really, really like this, want to hear the full thing, please consider upping your pledge to $10 or just signing up at the $10 level at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. If you haven't read it yet, since we last did Rocco, Hillenburg passed away, and one of the most heartfelt farewells or tributes to Hillenburg was an article written by Joe Murray, tribute to him in Variety in November of last year. It was really sweet. He talked about how in there that he has been working on the new Rocco and he wishes he had gotten to talk more with Hillenburg, but they had grown a little apart, but he says they were still friendly. And the last time he saw him was they were both in the Nick building working on their respective things. And he was visiting Hillenburg in the SpongeBob writer's room where I guess they were working on the new SpongeBob movie that's it's still to come out.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was going to be a third movie.
I guess it's still coming. But so the series, though, ends after season 4. It gets up to the 52 episodes that Nickelodeon prefers with reruns, unless you're a mega, mega hit like Rugrats or SpongeBob. They didn't usually go over 52. Like Angry Beavers didn't go over 52, or Doug.
I watched a fun video about the rise and fall of Rugrats, and that was the policy for Nickelodeon until they started airing Rugrats reruns like at 7 p.m. and 7:30, and that's when the show became a hit.
Oh, okay.
And that's when they ordered more, and that's when Paul Germain, who went to go on to create Recess and things like that, would no longer be part of those new series.
Well, once they did that soft cancel of Rugrats, it just let him go, and he seems like he was happy to get out of the Klasky Chupoverse.
Not a fan of Klasky or Chupo.
But so Murray then, once the series is canceled, he kind of went on a trip of discovery. Like Rachel does in Wacky Deli, Joe Murray himself kind of went on some self-discovery, except his sculpture was children books that he published over the years.
Okay, yeah.
And then in the early 2000s, he finally did sell a new show to Cartoon Network and got back into the animation biz. That was Camp Lazlo, which I'm sure someday we're going to do a full one cartoon for.
And again, I feel bad for being snotty about that show because I should have been watching it as a lot of the same people. The animation is great. The director of this movie was a major figure in Camp Lazlo as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just, I'm sure it would be fun. I just need to go back to it.
Yeah, and I mean, the lead three are voiced by Carlos Alazraki, Tom Kenny, and Doug Lawrence.
That's right,
the lead voice actors in it. And also, as we mentioned on regular show, J.G. Quintel, the creator of regular show, was a storyboard supervisor on the show, as was Thurup Von Ormond of Flapjack fame.
It's a pre-Flapjack, like, keystone for Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
touchstone, rather.
As people say that Flapjack led to Adventure Time and the path we're on now with Cartoon Network shows, before that was Lazlo that built the bridge. And Lazlo seems like a fine show, other than, you know, there's not poo in there for sure.
As we said on the show, as we said on the What a Cartoon about Rocko's Modern Life, it was a little too late to make that decision. I'm sure it's not terrible.
No, I mean, and it was done in innocence, like it's an Indian elephant.
And there's one in this movie too. Camp Lazlo reference.
That was fun. I liked seeing those characters. Yeah, but so after 61 episodes between 2005 and 2008, Camp Lazlo comes to its end. Murray even talked about that he also went through a divorce during that.
Oh, poor guy.
He's happily remarried now. So after Lazlo ended, Murray went on to found new projects, including kickstarting an online series called Frog in a Suit, which were like web cartoons. He got like $20,000, which... That's because he did that in 2010. Like, kickstarting stuff in 2010 did not make you money like it would 3 years later.
He could have earned like $500,000 if he did it 3 years later.
But then it would have never come out.
That's true.
I'm kind of glad he didn't get that success. So Murray then remarried, moved to Belgium. Like, that's where he lives now.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. That came out in several of the interviews he did. He's like, he would come into LA to work on the film some, but other times he was just Skyping in from Belgium. I think that's why his co-director on this, they needed one to be in the office the whole time. And so he lives there with his two younger sons, I believe, from his current marriage. He also has two daughters from his previous marriage. And he talks a lot about those kids because he was thinking of them when pitching a new pilot for PBS in 2015, that would eventually become the show Let's Go Luna, which just started, which if you want to see like a nice kid show that looks exactly like Rocko character.
Yes, I watched some clips of it. It is definitely Joe Murray designs, but done in the very, you know, puppety Bob's Burgers-y style, which is what they're making fun of in this movie.
Yes, yeah.
Which I think he's kind of like sneering at PBS. Like, you should have let me animate this the way I like shows to be animated.
Yeah, that's true. But budget, you got to do it cheap and passionless.
Yeah, I love that the movie looks like a real cartoon.
It really, I do love that. And that was very important to Murray when he came back on. So as Murray tells it, the gestation for Rocko's Modern Life coming back really came together in 2015. Late 2015 or early 2016, he says he was called by a Nickelodeon executive named Chris Viscardi, who wanted to make new Rocko.
You would see him as like a story editor on a lot of Nickelodeon stuff, like Will McRobb and Chris Viscardi.
Yes.
Yeah. They would be people brought in to rein in crazy animators. So Will McRobb was on Ren and Stimpy, which explains Wilbur Cobb.
Oh, right.
He was named after Will McRobb.
But that's the Pete and Pete guys. Now he's just an exec, was an exec. Well, man, I got another thing to thank Viscardi for doing that. Thank you, Viscardi. As Murray said, at first he thought Viscardi was being crazy. He's like, if you talk to the other executives, because they're probably not going to okay this.
This was the era of like the Hey Arnold movie and things like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And also talk of a Ren and Stimpy movie. I remember that was happening around the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Not happening now, probably.
Definitely will never happen now.
And Murray even talked about how like he usually has bad experiences with executives. Can you believe believe the guy who created Conglomo and the executives are bad. And he's right. He is 100% right. Yep. They're all bad. He mentioned, too, one thing that turned him off on Laszlo, why he thinks Laszlo was canceled, is that he turned down doing a McDonald's commercial that Cartoon Network wanted him to do.
Oh, would it be for like a Laszlo Happy Meal or something?
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Rocco did get a Happy Meal. Well, a Carl's Jr. Hardee's meal, like the cheapest of the meals.
It didn't hit my Hardee's. I would have been there getting a Monster Burger.
And so as Murray puts it of why this show came out, quote, "The fans made it happen. I didn't pitch it. Nickelodeon came to me due to the popularity of a show through DVD sales, merchandise, and social media." Which is why Ed has that entire speech in the episode about
That's interesting. I just was at the Mall of America in June, and I went to the Nickelodeon store because they have an entire theme park within the mall that's all Nickelodeon branded. By the way, it's way out of date because there's like, you can ride the Fairly Odd Parents ride.
Sure.
The only thing that's up to date there is the SpongeBob roller coaster. And then they have the last version of Ninja Turtles.
Oh, but okay.
I bought basically little Ren and Stimpy. What are those little Japanese like puffball toys?
Simpsons?
Basically Nickelodeon's version of that. They're like little puffy blocks. But I did not see any Rocco stuff, and I was kind of scouring the aisles because they had Rugrats and Doug stuff, but not any Rocco stuff. Even Ren and Stimpy, the kind of, you don't want to do too much with that right now, property.
Right. You got to sell those and hope nobody reads the news.
There was a Rocco shirt, like the shirt Rocco wears, but it was for like a baby.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm an adult man. I want my Rocco shirt.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rocco's pretty small. You could probably wear that baby.
I think it is Rocco size.
And Murray also mentioned that time softened a lot of grudges he had with the network where they, you know, would censor stuff in old Rocco's. They'd pull the episode Leapfrogs, which was the one where Bev tried to seduce Rocco.
Oh, that's such a good one.
It only aired one. I think it aired in 93. And then after 93, they pulled it. It also meant that the episode where Heifer sells his soul to play the game of Peaches. That one also aired less because it was paired with
that. Love the Bev seducing Rocco because she's like, "Look at my eyes, Rocco." And she's like, "Touch them."
Oh,
and he gropes her eyes like they're breasts.
Yeah, that I forgot that.
My friends and I would talk about all the dirty jokes on the show when we were kids.
And they're all in this movie. That's what I love too.
Yeah, and Chokey Chicken's back.
Oh,
it took
God.
Them like three seasons to realize that Nickelodeon, like, wait a minute, this is a masturbation reference.
One of their kids, I'm mad at whatever child of an executive told them what that joke really was. Like, you got to keep it a secret from your parents. And also that he had fought with Nickelodeon over budget stuff back in the original show, too. He said, he recounted a story where he was shouting at them, saying, like, "You got to spend more on this because you're going to be airing it for 20 years, so it should look good." Now he says it's 20 years later, and they really did air it that long. I was right. And yeah, Murray wasn't sure he'd come back, but he got Nickelodeon to commit to not watering down the show and to let him make the same social commentary that he made in the 90s as well for the show, which was very important to him, and that he felt he did have a story to tell. And it was also very important to Murray, as you could guess from the plot of this episode, the film, that he wanted it to be drawn with pencils and to have physical drawings on paper, especially for the backgrounds. Backgrounds, they were scanned in later, of course, because there's no way to do a digital production of animation now.
Yeah, I mean, the drawings you're seeing are digital, but they're drawn by a human. They're not like shapes pulled down from the Rocco menu to like build a new Rocco.
They took all this pride. I saw multiple of the people who worked on the show talking all the pride they took in the background work.
They're gorgeous, especially on like a 4K TV or just, I mean, everything is HD on Netflix, but goddamn, they look good. Like, this is one of the few instances where a show comes back and it looks better than it used to. It's not like, it kind of looks worse now. Like The Simpsons, where The Simpsons was running alongside Rocco. It looks much worse now. Now Rocco looks better than the old shows.
Yeah, the care in this movie to get it as close to possible. Like, they dug out old model sheets, you can tell. And they got back as many of the old folks as they could, but then also hired super fans who could draw and remembered all the jokes too, which you can just feel the love in it. And yeah, they really embraced having the stretched out HD frame for this too.
Yes, all the glorious, just, I love just the warp perspective in Rocco. As I said on the little podcast that we did, I love how every door is just impossible to open and curved. Like, nothing works in the world because everything is so wavy and curvy.
Wavy and also hideous. Just all misaligned. The overseas animation was handled by the Seoul-based Yeson, Y-E-S-O-N animation, which didn't work on old Rocco, but has done a million things for Nickelodeon in the last 20 years, including they worked on some of season 4 and 5 of Ren and Stimpy. That's the closest crossover
cool,
Rocco.
Cool. And you can tell, you could definitely tell layout and everything was done in America or not by overseas labor. Like, so there are so many specific drawings and faces and poses that, like, they figured it all out before sending the grunt work over to another location.
So many amazing poses. My God. It's, so many specific wild drawings, which you need for Rocco. Rocco is defined by wild takes. It's one of the most wild, takiest shows the 90s. The Rocco special was officially announced June 22nd of 2017 as part of a rollout of reboots that Nickelodeon had announced. A few months previous, they had announced the Hey Arnold Jungle movie was finally happening. About a month or two after it was Rocco was announced, they announced the Invader Zim special. And it was really that in 2017, Nickelodeon was really getting behind their new streaming venture, Splat, which they thought, like, oh, people will pay $10 a month to have access to just the Nicktoons library of shows, which I think time has shown us they don't, you don't want to pay that much for that amount of library.
Yeah,
you
know? We were just talking about how now all the streaming services are fracturing. I couldn't believe that NBC Universal was having their own streaming service now after Disney bought out the rest of Hulu. And this is just me as a consumer. My rights are important, but these streaming services have got to start costing like $3 or $4 per pop. If I have to subscribe to 10 of them instead of 6 of them. I subscribe to 6 now, and they're all around $10 outside of the anime ones.
6 is too much as it is, too. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know why they think people will pay 10 or more than 10 a month. Like, Disney is trying to kill all the rest by going 7, which is closer to the price it should be.
I was really disappointed that they couldn't work out a deal on Netflix to just grab Rocco for a few months, all the series, because now that this is out, this movie, people are not immediately able to just find the whole series on streaming, because I'm sure they get a lot of viewers just
for
like, oh yeah, I remember all these characters. Oh, remember that episode and that episode? They want to go back in. I know I did after watching this.
Yeah, it's unfortunate Netflix couldn't get it, but I think Viacom wants to hold on to those Nickelodeon things. I mean, Viacom's about to merge with CBS. Oh my God.
Well, whatever they're doing, it is not illegal, so it's perfectly moral.
Yeah, as long as the government says no problem with it, then it's not immoral. But yes, in 2017, they thought Splat was going to be where it's at. And so that tied up all the Nickelodeon streaming stuff, and they took it off Hulu. They were going to pay for original programming for it. As the show would begin production, Joe Murray would bring back veterans of Rocco, Doug Lawrence, a.k.a. Mr. Lawrence, a.k.a. Plankton, and Martin Olson, who was one of the top writers on the series up into the final episodes. And then it was co-directed by Cosmo Sergison, who had been a board artist on Laszlo.
There's a real person named Cosmo, and I love it.
And he's going to be, after watching this, I found out that he is, like, I believe the showrunner of the Cuphead Netflix series that's being made now.
Oh, that's great.
I'm very excited now for that Cuphead Netflix. After watching this, he seems like the perfect guy to do a throwback show like that. And, you know, Lawrence, as we all know, and Olsen, two of the ones I saw that he did, he wrote or is one of the writers for Wacky Deli, as well as I Have No Son, another very important episode to the Static Kling story as well.
It's funny, I watched this movie with friend of the show, Nina Matsumoto. She had never seen a Rocco anything before because they didn't get it in Canada, where she grew up and lives currently.
Wow.
So we watched the movie and she liked it, but I had to explain, like, the Fatheads are not like the Itchy and Scratchy of this world. They appeared like two other times. And the same thing with Rachel. Joe Murray's character was in two other episodes. I Have No Son and Wacky Deli, and that was it.
That's so funny. It wasn't available up there. The Teletoons.
Those Teletoons.
Yeah, they... I got to think there's, you should dig up a Rocco where they go to Canada. I can't remember off the top of my head. There's there
I remember like a beaver and a Mountie outfit or something.
Yeah.
There's got to be one. But yeah, the Teletoon force like undergrads on people, but they couldn't show them Rocco. Very sad.
And also credited as writers on top of those guys, two new younger boarders, Tom Smith and Dan Becker.
Mm.
Becker, his only big previous credits to this were South Park. He was an animator on South Park for two years, seemingly, I would bet non-union. And now boards on Murray's PBS series. Let's go, cool. Luna. Meanwhile, Smith had a background on Robot Chicken. And in multiple interviews, Murray credits Tom Smith as the Rocco superfan who made sure that there were as many references as possible shoved in. He said, like, the joke about Spunky's mop obsession.
Yeah.
Murray was like, who's going to remember that? I don't remember that. So that was from a superfan, which I'm really glad they had a dork on the team who could tell them what they loved about it. Also back was Pat Irwin doing the music. He's the only credited music person on here. Though maybe they just took his stuff out of his library.
No, it sounds like it's new.
Yeah, okay.
It's perfectly Rocco music, too.
And all the voices are back, too. All the original voices.
Nobody's dead except for Dr. Hutchinson's mom, Kevin Meaney.
Oh, yes.
That's not right.
Which, that's sad. In the 20 years since then, he came out of the closet and then passed away.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, instead of explaining all the voices, I'll just read a Murray quote all about it, too. How they got the voices back. Quote. Quote, Tom Kenny is a close friend, and Carlos Alazraki and I go to baseball games together all the time. So they were on board. They knew about it way in advance. Charlie Adler, I always run into him because he's now this big-time voice director in a lot of studios. And so I always run into him. He was great. And Doug Lawrence, I'm still close with him, so it wasn't hard to track them down. The only one that was hard to track down was Linda Wallum, who does the voice of Dr. Hutchinson. She fell off the radar, and none of us knew where she was.
Wow.
But they eventually did find her.
So. Yeah, I totally, like, for a minute, I thought she was Jill Talley until I checked the credits.
Yeah.
Because husband and wife Jill Talley and Tom Kenny... they were always part of Rocco, correct?
Yeah, though she had a limited handful of appearances in the show. Like she's playing her most famous character in this movie.
Nosy?
Yeah, Nosy. Yeah. Though now she's gone from a Sally Jesse Raphael talk show to hosting the news, which is that what happens anyway? That is reality.
It is social commentary.